Welcome, all one and all, to the Screen Geeks Midweek Film Snob, episode number 2. This is Dave.
And Barry.
And this week, we cover another Preston Sturges movie. Dave's favorite movie of all time, As Planes Fly Overhead. Hit figures. Oh, well, this week we talk about Preston Sturges, I think the best film he ever made, Sullivan's Travels.
I would have to agree with you, and I gotta say, obviously, I'll just level, okay? I thought this was a different movie, all right? Dave has been talking about this movie forever, and I'm like, oh, okay, I like Gulliver's Travels, too. I don't think it was one of the best movies ever made. So when Dave lent me a copy to watch it to prepare for this episode, about 2 minutes in, I'm like, this is not with the little people of Lilliput. And not to mention, like, I remember Gulliver's Travels being in color. Why is this on black? So anyway, yeah, I didn't realize, A, that this was a different movie, and B, this is an extraordinary film. I couldn't be happier that I accidentally, thank you, that you basically introduced me accidentally to this magnificent movie.
Well, and this is what I love about the Film Snob, is that as we went over the schedule, we've got things planned out through the end of the year, so we're doing it at least that long. We've both picked movies that we haven't seen. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really looking forward to us broadening our horizons this way.
Yes.
This way. So, yeah, mm-hmm. It's cool. Okay, do we just want to go over the plot first? Or?
Well, yeah, briefly, because I say the less we say about the plot, the better. And I don't want to even – I mean, we should hint at that it gets a little dark towards the end, but I don't even want to get near
Essentially what it is it's about John Sullivan, the character of John Sullivan, played by Joel McRae. He makes these great – you know, these slapstick, stupid, goofy movies. And he decides, you know, that's not what's going on in the world right now. I want to make a movie about the common man, the plight of the poor people in this world. I want to make a true tragedy, essentially. And people are like, well, you're rich. What do you know about being poor? And the opening premise is that he says, you know what? I'm going to go out in poor people's clothes with 10 cents to my name, and I'm going to come back when I have a movie. And that's all we'll say from there. Along the way, he does meet the lovely Veronica Lake, who is credited as the girl. That's the funny thing. She's such an integral part to this movie, but she never gets a name.
She's called the girl. But I got to say, yowza, Veronica Lake. Holy crap, is she gorgeous. I mean, I don't know if it's just because she has like the most magnificent hair in all of cinema, but man, she is a knockout. And great in this movie, really great. Not like a Marilyn Monroe performance, you know, where she's like really cute or whatever. She's got great timing, great acting chops. She does a solid job.
It's almost a Myrna Loy type thing.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, she may look like the dumb blonde, but she is.
Yeah, she's got real spunk, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to talk about the central theme to this film without really giving some spoilers.
Yeah, I say we just talk about some of the high points of this film, because there's so many.
The slapstick, the part where they're driving around in the bus trying to keep up with them.
This has one of the great car chases, because initially, it starts like, okay, it's like a typical car chase, but it ends up being like almost something out of like Cannonball Run. It is so manic and crazy. And
it's almost like a Three Stooges or something.
Yeah, it's like it's so frenzy and energetic, and you just get so exhilarated watching this car chase. It's incredible.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, I've been doing a little research around. There's some people who compare the car chases in Raising Arizona to the car chase in Sullivan's Travels.
And I can completely see that.
And the Coen brothers have gone on record and said that Sturges was a huge influence in their filmmaking careers.
And yeah, we got to mention the title.
Yeah, okay. And I forgot to say, yes, he's I'll give it away, I guess. Yes.
Well, it's a minor plot point.
Yes. The movie he's going to make about the plight of the poor man is called O Brother, Where Art Thou? And all I will say is that by the end of the movie, you can see how the Coen brothers film would have been the movie that Sully would have made.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. Freaking literally.
Yes, truly.
That makes for a good double feature, I'm just saying.
Definitely a great double feature. And you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, the Coen brothers' influence is all over this movie. The energy of it, the madcap, very sometimes very dark humor. This movie really takes you off guard. And I'll say the opening scene, without giving anything away, the movie has one of the great fake-out opening scenes. And I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to give it away. But like the opening really takes the audience off guard as to exactly what kind of movie this is. It's terrific. It's brilliant. I've never seen it done in a movie. I mean, this came out in 1941. This is the kind of thing like – this is like akin to like the Gremlins 2 fake-out. But like – you know, it was done in a movie in 1941, and it's brilliant. It's wonderfully done.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you're going to find as a common theme through most of the movies we talked about, this is why I'm kind of glad we're talking about this second as opposed to Unfaithful Years, is because a truly great film has something to say. And there's definitely something to be said in this film about, you know, the importance of being happy, of finding joy in life. And I mean, I get happy just thinking about the entire film. And as a generally happy person, I know you said you're like, I can totally see how you would identify with this movie.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I see a lot of Sullivan and Dave and vice versa. So, yeah.
And I actually take that as quite a compliment. But, I think the central theme is, you know, to find what joy you can in life. No matter what your lot in life is, find the joy you can, and you will have a happier existence.
Absolutely. I mean, the point of the movie is, you know, that we need laughter during tough times. That's the bottom line. And
Which is a completely different thing than what you've heard us talking about for the last 3 minutes.
Absolutely. No, because, you know, and the same thing, you know, I love grit. I like, you know, stuff that depicts, you know, the harsher, darker aspects of human nature. But Sturges, you know, opens up with a kind of a corny, old-fashioned point. And he, you know, initially like I told Dave, like I thought, I don't know if this movie's really going to hit where it's going at. Because, you know, this is a guy who's trying to live out the dregs of society, you know, by putting on hobo clothes with a, you know, little hobo stick and a little, you know, picnic basket at the end, walking around, you know, looking for the dregs of society. I'm like, okay, this, you know, even though I'm enjoying the movie, this is kind of Hollywood BS. They're not going to make it. Well, without giving anything away, Sturges manages to find his theme. The story takes a dark turn, and indeed, Sullivan does find the darker elements of society and lives it, and it's stunning. Not only that the story takes that turn, but that Sturges finds his theme honestly and movingly. And at the end of the film, you completely understand the scope of what Sturges was trying to say and what he was trying to get at and what his idea of true misery in life is. And he found it in a way that was really honest and devastating. And when the final scene does come, and, you know, again, the point is made that we need laughter in our lives to get us through the hard times, I could barely hold back the tears. This is very, very moving stuff.
It absolutely is. And, hey, guess who put it out on DVD?
Dun, dun. Could it be the Criterion people?
Quite possibly, yes. This movie means so much to me. Honestly, I remember where I bought it and how much it cost at the time.
Ooh.
So, I mean, I remember seeing it on the shelf and being like, what the heck is this? And this is when I was in a phase where I'm like, hey, it's Criterion. I'll check it out. And so it was $15. And I'm like, hey, bring it. And it's been in my possession ever since.
Thank you, Criterion, for allowing us to discover movies like this.
Absolutely. And let me just go through some of the features that are on here. There's an audio commentary by a bunch of people. Oh, wow. Noah Baumbach, Kenneth Bowser, Christopher Guest, and Michael McKean. I haven't even listened to this yet.
Holy crap. Noah Baumbach, of course, The Squid and the Whale. Michael McKean, one of Spinal Tap.
Yes, as well as Christopher Guest.
Yeah, Christopher Guest, of course.
And then there's a 70-minute documentary called Preston Sturges, The Rise and Fall of an American Dreamer, made by Kenneth Bowser for the PBS American Master Series. There's an interview with Preston Sturges' widow, Sandy. A Hedda Hopper interview with Preston Sturges. And then archival audio recordings of Sturges singing some of his original songs. Then you have the obligatory storyboards and blueprints, production stills, production publicity materials. It has the original trailer. And then subtitles, obviously.
Man, so. I don't know where Criterion finds this stuff. It's almost like, I imagine they write down a list like, what are the 10 coolest things we could find for special edition? They find it somehow.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. I want to mention also that this movie makes brilliant use of a great Mickey Mouse cartoon. And I got to say, like, not only does it come at a perfect time in the movie, but when was the last time, like, a Hollywood movie not made by Disney actually managed to use a you know, Mickey Mouse cartoon?
Absolutely. There was talk that originally he wanted to use a Charlie Chaplin film. And in a way, I know some people would have preferred that, but I think that in the setting, because I'm not giving anything away in this movie, I think in the setting, it was more appropriate.
I totally agree. And, you know, as much as I love Charlie Chaplin, there is something almost more universal about a Mickey Mouse cartoon than a Chaplin film. So I think it works just as well.
Absolutely. If you haven't seen this is almost my definition of a perfect movie.
I would say, along with Singing in the Rain, The Player, and Who Framed Roger Rabbit, this is one of the best films ever about old-time Hollywood.
Absolutely. So, yes, we won't give away what we're talking about next week. You'll just find out.
Oh, we don't want to give it away?
Sure, why not? We're going from the happy...
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. This is Jean-Luc Godard's Contempt. Another Hollywood movie, granted. I think a movie that, I don't know if I'd call it happy, but it's a great movie. It's a great movie.
Cool. And this is one I haven't seen, so I can't wait. We're educating each other like crazy in this thing. So, hopefully you guys enjoyed this one, and you come back for future episodes and such. And you can always give us feedback at the same usual spots. So, until next time, this is Dave.
And Barry.
You're listening to the Screen Geeks Midweek Film Snob.